The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Say big on your landscaping project now at Menards. We make it easy for you to enhance your outdoor living space with the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Build a fire pit or retaining wall with our tumbled Belgian wall blocks. On sale now. Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Get the best quality paints from Dutch Boy for all your projects at Menards. MaxBond Plus exterior paint and primer in one is designed to stand strong against extreme weather. It provides max adhesion, hide, and performance, and repels rain in just 90 minutes after application. And with Dutch Boy's high-performing paints that last, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards today and get your paint project started. Save big money
at Menards. This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
You may continue, Mr. Anderson.
What I wanted to get at was when you have the CRPS pain or these lesions starting up, how frank are you with your family about them?
I don't want to worry my dad. I mean, he has enough on his plate. He's a single parent, and I mean, just being the father of two kids is hard enough. I mean, it would be even harder if one kid was really sick.
I know. Okay. So, does Kyle worry about you too?
He does, and actually about when I broke my pinky, that was the last time he let me play football with him because he was so unbelievably scared that if I got hurt again, it would increase the chances of me being separated from my family.
Mm-hmm. And so these aggravated symptoms, and can you tell the jury, have your symptoms been aggravated by your stay at Johns Hopkins, as they've heard here?
I believe so. With the testimonies of the doctors, they relayed that when you interrupt treatment, it does increase the risk of it coming back.
Your Honor, we object. It's outside the foundation.
Overruled.
Yeah, I was done anyway.
All right. The circumstances you're in right now, ketamine worked for you before, but can you tell the jury why, over this period of time since you got out of Johns Hopkins, and let's leave aside any legal, but just emotionally and from your own internal sources, why don't and haven't you used the ketamine?
Well, besides the legal aspect of it, because I'm sure I can't get into that, but I mean, the stigma of ketamine in the medical industry for people who aren't familiar with CRPS has deterred me from seeking help again.
Mm-hmm. And does it cause you any worry that the wrong statement about it, the wrong request about it might cause this to happen?
Oh, for sure, yeah.
All right, so with the increased stress you've been talking about, has that had any physical manifestations? I mean, obviously the CRPS, but leaving aside the CRPS, and we'll get into the psychological, but leaving aside the CRPS, do you have any physical manifestations when you get stress?
Yeah, so the insomnia, and then another thing is I do have atopic dermatitis. It was pretty well managed for the most part with ointments. It was never really bad, but I want to say within the last year, it got to be a serious problem. My skin was just disgusting, so I went to the dermatologist for that reason. Now I'm on a shot called Dupixent, and it's completely gone, but those shots are, you know, expensive, and I have to take them every 2 weeks to keep my atopic dermatitis under control. And I just want to say the dermatologist said that it wasn't from environmental factors. It was from stress.
Sustained.
So then, plus, you know, needles, right?
Yeah.
All right. I want to turn to the mental anguish segment of these damages. You talked a little bit about the sleeplessness, but the jury needs to know more about the anxiety that you feel and what it's caused you in terms of the mental, anguish, the mental pain.
I am quite fearful to even talk to anybody about my feelings. I don't know if I'm allowed to tell why, or because it's about the legal stuff, how it's been subpoenaed.
Let's stay away from that.
Okay.
I'm
afraid to talk about that because, but then in the past at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, I met with Dr. Lewis, who conducted a neuropsych exam, and he wrote down things that I did not say. So now whenever I go to a mental health professional, I'm scared that what their notes are actually not true with what I'm saying.
Has it been hard for you to establish a bond with physicians and therapists?
Certainly. It's scary.
Well, what about Dr. Henschke? Did she help?
She did. I really liked her, but it did take me a few sessions to warm up to her. But I would like to see her in the future, if at all possible.
And do you have any fears that whatever you put in records may end up in one of these places?
Your Honor, we object. Move to strike.
Sustained.
So tell me also about going into a medical facility. Have you had any experiences lately that you can tell us about where you've had to go in?
I know, with the Arnold Palmer experience, there was extra precautions that we took not only as a family, but we informed our physician. So every single time I go to a doctor's office or a hospital, it's quite frightening. There was actually one time I had a pretty bad cold, so I went to urgent care. But again, I waited 4 days. And when I went into the examination room, it's standard that you listen to the heartbeat. He asked me, why is your heart going so fast? And it's even scary to talk about, but I just told him I have anxiety when coming into.
I'm going to overrule on that one.
But I just have anxiety going into those places.
Okay. Now, we'll get into the activities in the next section, but kind of dumb question. How often do you think about your mom?
I think about her every single day. I mean, there's reminders all around. Anyone with blonde hair, I think of my mom. Anyone with glasses, I think of my mom. Certain colors she liked. Like Kyle said, perfumes. When I am at the mall and I walk by Victoria's Secret, I think of her because she loved going in there. Or like Talbots. I don't know, I see her everywhere, and it's a blessing, but also a curse. It's nice to be reminded of her, but it's hard.
And have you seen photographs of your mother when she was your age?
I did, yeah.
Does she look a lot like you?
Mm-hmm.
So have you had any concerns about, as you grow older, looking in the mirror and seeing?
Yeah, it's harder. I mean, everyone when I was younger told me that I looked just like her. And for some reason, I never saw it. But after she passed, every time I looked in the mirror, I myself was a reminder of my mom.
Mm-hmm. So then, you have chronic depression?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Okay. Now, is there any way the jury could differentiate between days when it's depression that's keeping you from doing the things you want versus days that the CRPS aggravation is keeping you from doing things you want to do?
I mean, the way to distinguish it would just be by asking. I don't think by looking at a person you could really tell what's contributing to the fact why they don't want to do anything. Mm-hmm. So with the CRPS pain, it's just if I'm hurting too bad that day or doing certain movements are too difficult and I can't go to the gym, I'll stay at home and I do just lay in bed. But then there's the depression, which is, I would say most of my depression would be revolving around my mom's death and then being taken away and being held at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. And I constantly think about those 3.5 months. Mm-hmm.
Does it have any effect when you see someone that looks like Miss Beatty or some of those nurses?
Yeah, this is kind of embarrassing, but I did work as a server, and I was fine working there for most of it.
Was it
Cracker Barrel? Yeah, Cracker Barrel.
How long did you work there, Carol?
Not long. It was a very short time.
Weeks or months?
It was maybe 2 months-ish around there. It was a couple of months, but it was short compared to what most of my peers do. But I was serving this one table, and I was looking at my little notebook, and when I looked up to listen to her order, the lady looked one-to-one with Kathy Beatty. And I felt so bad, but I just stared at her, and I probably made her feel so bad, but I was so scared.
Mm. And so running into people that may look like some of the people that bothered you there.
Yeah.
How does that affect your desire to want to go out and do things?
It's hard because, I mean, I'm a teenager, so I like to go out with my friends, but at the same time, I avoid a lot of things, and I've never told anyone about what happened to me until, you know, now it's pretty public, but, you know, none of my friends knew, so they probably just thought I was weird or being, like, dramatic. But in reality, I just have really bad PTSD.
Yes. Teenage girls sometimes can be a little hard. So now, does it affect you in terms of wanting to go out and, well, just go out of the house? Or out of, I guess you have a boyfriend now and his
yes.
house is nearby?
Mm-hmm.
How does that work?
So I go to his house a lot most of the time, and we used to go out, like, downtown Sarasota, but there was actually another instance when we were walking past a restaurant, and there's a nice outdoor patio, and people were dancing to live music, and I could have sworn one of the people dancing was Kathy, and I completely panicked, and it's just so embarrassing because, like, if this continues to be a problem, I'm just afraid that people won't want to be around me or he'll break up with me.
Mm-hmm. And that probably makes you, if there's a decision to go out with when you already don't feel so hot physically, does that add to it?
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Okay. And so would you say then, Maya, in this area that before this, would you describe yourself as already being really quiet and kind of down, or did you have a different view or neutral view? What's the change?
Before, I was very optimistic and really positive. I was very outgoing and I loved talking to people. But I think now it's just easier for me to be kind of neutral or negative about things, and then I don't get disappointed.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any flashbacks to certain incidents there where you are reliving them?
All the time. I mean, there's like little things as well that people might think are silly but are so significant to me. Like unscented hand sanitizer, I can't. I refuse. I will not put it on my hands. It just reminds me of John Hopkins, because all the doctors, before they come in, the first, like one of the first things they do before even saying hi is they clean their hands with the unscented hand sanitizer. My bed sheets at home, they used to be white. And I don't know if you've ever, you know, stayed at a hospital, but the bed sheets are white. So I changed them to pink. Foods. So I remember almost every day I ordered like the same thing, because I'm a very picky eater and they didn't have a lot of options on the menu. So I don't really eat cereal anymore because that's what I had for breakfast. And then for lunch, I would always have a grilled cheese. I can't eat grilled cheeses anymore without getting sad. And then for dinner, I would have spaghetti noodles. And now when I go to restaurants, if I order spaghetti, I always have to get a different shape. That way I'm not reminded. And then certain colors. So Kathy Beattie always wore dark purple. And to this day, I refuse. I will not wear dark purple. And anyone wearing dark purple, I naturally tend to stay away from. And I swear I'm not trying to be mean. It's just, to me, it's protecting myself. And I don't know if you've noticed, but I only wear silver jewelry, and that's because Kathy Beattie exclusively wore gold. So it's almost like everything she did, I have to do the opposite.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me now, one of the jurors had a question after your last about, I think it was creature comforts.
Right.
Did you want to clarify that at all?
Yes, so I apologize. I didn't understand the definition of creature comforts. I assumed it was stuffed animals, but I've since learned what it meant. And no, when I was staying there, it definitely felt more so a hostile environment rather than a comforting one. There wasn't, you know, much treatment for me. Even with brushing my hair, it was so bad that my Aunt Wendy had to cut some of it off because it was matted. And then with brushing my teeth, it sounds disgusting, but without assistance, I went days without being able to brush my teeth.
I need to ask you then, insofar as some relapses about the incidents. First, during that first week you were there, did you make it plain to the Johns Hopkins people around you that you wanted out of there? You wanted to be away from that place?
It was so obvious. I don't think you could mistake what I was saying for wanting to stay there. I wanted out, and I made that clear. I told everyone and anybody who walked in my room, whether it was the person delivering food, whether it was rec workers, nurses, doctors, anyone entering my room knew I wanted out.
What about the period where they had you in that room for 48 hours? Did you let people know, even during that 48 hours, whether you wanted to be in there or outside?
I did not want to be kept in a room all the time. I mean, even though I'm in a wheelchair and I can't walk, it doesn't mean I want to stay put. I'm still a kid. I want to explore and I want to do things.
Do you remember any incidents where you asked whether you could leave to go play with a kid or play in the rec room?
I never really asked to play with the kid because I knew their answer would be no. But I did ask to go to the rec room quite often.
Just because you were sitting there for 48 hours?
Yes.
Or 42, whatever it was. And then the event where on January 6th you were held and disrobed, did you let them know, Kathy Beattie and the other nurse there, know you wanted away from them and out of there?
Yes, I was crying my eyes out. I mean, again, you can't mistake that at all. There's no excuse.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, I don't know if I asked it on the other thing, but were you actually ever naked in front of them, either top or bottom or both?
Yes, so during the changing process, in the set of photos, you could see two different training bras. So I did change out of that, and Kathy did see me naked at times.
And how did that make you feel based on the way you just are about that?
Disgusting and violated.
Okay. Now, you said that your mom is always with you. And now we need to talk a little bit about your mom's death. And the first thing I want to ask is, you heard the rest of your family's testimony, but what are the things with her being gone that you really liked to do family-wise that you don't anymore?
Well, at least 3 times a week, my family found time to sit down and watch our favorite shows. Being from Chicago, it's kind of funny, but we watch Chicago Fire, Chicago Med, and Chicago PD. So every week, there was one day of the week where a new episode would come out, and that was just bonding time.
And what about hair and makeup?
Yeah, my mom, mm-hmm, she did my hair and makeup for ice skating competitions. When I was in Illinois, I was on the competitive team, so that meant I got to travel. And I really cherish that because those were the only solo trips I ever got to go on with my mom.
So, are there certain phrases that your mom used that you either don't no longer use, or it, I hate this word, but trigger you?
Yeah, there was a couple, and I mean, when I hear other people say them, I smile a little bit, but it hurts just because I wish it was coming from her mouth. And then Polish accents, it's just, they're so like comforting to me, but at the same time, like, my mom sounded the same way.
And again, was this the first time you heard that your grandfather was part of Solidarity?
Yes, yeah.
How'd that make you feel in terms of wanting to go back and learn more about your family in Poland?
I definitely want to go back to Poland. I wish I could go with my mom, but...
Mm-hmm. So now, this was an important period in your life, I guess, from 10 to where you are now. If you had personal issues, a girl growing up, how did it affect you that you didn't have your mom around?
It was very hard because I think when young girls are going through those changes, it's even uncomfortable to talk to other girls about it because it's all new. So typically they talk to their mom, and I had YouTube, so that was it.
So were you around other girls when they would talk about talking to their moms about issues?
Yes, I had a lot of girlfriends, and it's hard because it's so beautiful seeing them have such a good relationship with their mom. But I get jealous.
I know. So now with these conversations that you used to have with your mom. What happens when friends of yours, or just girls that you know from around, start having conversations about going shopping and things with their moms?
It makes me very emotional, but typically I'm very good at hiding my emotions. It sounds mean, but sometimes I get distant from them. Uh-huh. Like, I won't want to hang out with them as much anymore.
Perfectly normal. So now, are you still in the same room, bedroom you were in when your mom was there?
Yes.
And what about that, if anything, is that a dumb question, but how is that a problem?
It is a problem. I've changed my room so much. I've gotten a new bed, new sheets like I talked about. My dad has painted it a different color, and he's decorated it a little bit for me. But it's hard because I remember, I mean, the memories I do have of my mom, even though they're limited, I remember just laying in bed with her, and the nights when I was in pain, like screaming and crying, she obviously had work, but she would always get into bed with me and sit right next to me, try to calm me down, and she always had her laptop so she could do her work.
Just to be next to you. Now, while we're on that topic, I wanted to ask you about conversations with your mom while you're in the hospital at Johns Hopkins. Mm-hmm. And from the first that you went in, as time went on, what, if any, changes did you notice in your mom's voice and, if you will, approach to you?
Right. So I was granted phone call privileges with my mom at certain times, and I was very grateful for that. But you could just, when you know somebody, like, you could hear when they're struggling.
Sorry. Water's good. So, during these periods of time, and I really want to go from the conversations when you first were in there, and then on as we get close to the time that your mom passed.
At first, the conversations were, I would say, pretty good. I wasn't allowed to talk about certain things, and she wasn't either. And you could kind of hear that in the audio recordings, because she's either redirected or she pauses and has to rethink about what she's going to ask. And there's so many, like, little filler questions, because even though we couldn't talk about important things, just being able to talk was enough for me. But as time went on, you could just tell, like, she couldn't think of any more things to talk about. And she was desperate to know how I was doing. And she probably heard, too, like, in my voice that I was in pain and I was suffering. And it just got really difficult as we went on. And I could just tell she was falling apart.
Did it seem to you that her stress was increasing over this period of time?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you could hear it in her tone. Mm-hmm.
And these stilted conversations, could you still tell, though? And if so, how could you, that she was getting more and more deeply into wherever she was going?
She does this thing, like, where she'll, in a way, like, sigh talk. Uh-huh. And when she does that, it's out of desperation, or if she feels, like, out of control, in a way, like, she doesn't have control over the situation, sure, what she could talk about, and depression. You could just tell she was just so hopeless.
What about, now, you're a 10-year-old girl at this point. How did you have mixed feelings about even letting your mom know about what was happening to you?
Yeah, I did.
And why? Why would it bother you to tell her, to the extent you could tell her?
Well, obviously you don't want to worry your parent, and she's always been the one to take initiative with taking care of my health because that was her expertise. So you're telling somebody like, hey, I'm hurting, but you can't do anything about it. You're far away from me, first off, and you know that the hospital workers aren't doing anything about it.
Your Honor, respectfully, if we could briefly approach you, Ms. Hill.
Sure.
In November, if you can recall back, were there calls where Kathy Beatty was interrupting you and your mom's calls?
Constantly.
How did that affect your ability to communicate with your mom and your mom with you?
Well, it made it very difficult. There were so many restrictions, as is, about what we could say and what we couldn't say, and then you have...
Your Honor, respect the same objection.
Overruled. He qualified it by a date.
And then there was a person sitting right next to me who's making funny faces and acting childish when I'm having this special time with my mom. I mean, Kathy, she could just talk to her mom whenever she wants. She could pick up the phone. But with me, I only got to talk to my mom when Kathy was present, and she made a fool of herself when I was on the phone with my mom.
There is testimony in the record about you being told that your mom was in a mental hospital during this period of time. Do you recall that?
I do.
As you sit here today, can you tell the jury how being told these things about your mom, especially now your mom is gone, how that affects you in everyday life?
So when I was in the hospital, I was told that she was in a mental institution, and that's one of the reasons I couldn't see her. So the first thing I'm thinking is, why in the world would she be in a mental institution? You know, she's not mentally ill, she doesn't have anything wrong with her, and she hasn't done anything to our family. So it really did not make sense. When I was allowed to visit with my dad, I asked him, and he looked at me like, what are you talking about? And that's when I started to realize most of the things that these doctors were telling me were false.
Does that, again, give you difficulty in certain situations, trusting what someone is telling you?
All the time.
Suspicion, in other words.
Yes, I really don't trust people.
So now, on this, the post-traumatic aspect of things, I've testified before of certain places that bother you, but can you tell us a little bit more about just random things that bring back these feelings, these memories, these concerns?
The most obvious one is St. Pete. And I didn't always, you know, not like going to St. Pete. I actually went there with my mom quite a bit when I was staying at the Ronald McDonald House for easier access to get to my infusion center. My mom and I would go downtown St. Pete, and she would wheel me around. And there was this one gelato spot that we always went to, Pechugo Gelato. She always got coffee. That was her favorite. And we would just sit and have a good time. Even though I was hurting, we still found time together and to make good memories. And now the fear of running into somebody at, like, in or at, you know, places in St. Pete is greater than the potential joy I may derive from revisiting those places that I used to spend time with my mom at.
I want to just mention some things. I don't want to take you back there, okay? So if this, mm-hmm. I'm just going to, beeping noises.
Yes, yeah, so even, I mean, beeping noises are kind of like all around us. So when, you know, you don't buckle your seatbelt, the little beeping noise goes off. Or if I'm backing up my car, the beeping noise. When I was at school, when I was going to school physically, the alarm in between periods. But those prolonged, like, rhythmic beeping noises really bother me because in a hospital, that's all you hear 24/7. So in a way, the whole entire world in which, like, I walk in, there's always going to be reminders. And it's hard because, I mean, right now I could walk outside and I could point out 15 things that remind me of what I went through.
What about ticking of a clock?
Oh my gosh. When I was in the PICU, that's all I looked at was the clock. It was right at, you know, a little bit above eye level. And that's all I did was stare at that clock. And I was just waiting and begging, like, okay, this is what I did. So after it would reach 2 o'clock, for example, I would say just one more hour, you could do it. And then 3. And I just thought that eventually I would reach an hour where they would tell me I could go home. But it didn't happen for 3.5 months after that.
And because you were 10, you really didn't have the emotional development yet to deal with this?
Correct.
What about people in scrubs? I have random notes here, so I'm going to just say things.
Yeah, so, I mean, people, you know, work in hospitals, doctor's offices, whatever. And after work, they might go to the grocery store, or they might walk their dog, or they might go to, you know, Sephora or the mall. And whenever I see people in scrubs, it's, I'm like afraid of you. Like, I will not go near you. I don't know. I just can't do it.
What about, maybe I covered this, public bathrooms, trying to...
Yes, yeah, so this is a more awkward thing to talk about, but when I was staying at J Hatch, they would always have the door open whenever I was using the restroom. So I have, like, a hard time in public bathrooms knowing that somebody may be waiting for a stall, or if someone is in the stall next to me, I get really nervous because it just reminds me of the nurses who were, like, watching me urinate and go use the restroom.
So then, what about just everywhere? Is there anywhere you feel safe, Maya?
No, and not even my own home. And for a lot of people, that's where they go to relax, but... And it's not anything that, you know, within the home, it's just the fact that we've lived through so much, and during that time we were staying at the house we are still in.
Are you voting to move or not move?
Oh, move. Yes, I would love to move.
All right. So this takes us now to future plans. And back when we first talked, we talked a little bit about college, right?
Yes.
And we talked about some places you might want to go.
Mm-hmm.
My school. How have your plans changed, if they haven't? I mean, you talked about going to school in New York, or what steps have you taken lately to actually make this happen as opposed to wanting to?
Well, again, the idea of college sounds really great. I mean, I'm a senior in high school, so everyone's asking me, like, where do you want to go? What do you want to do?
Have you submitted any applications yet?
Not a single one, and some of the deadlines are passed, and I really don't care, if I'm being honest. It's not that I don't want to go to school. It's just kind of like, what's the point? I feel like this chapter of my life needs to be resolved before I could actually take a step forward and moving on. In a lot of ways, I still feel trapped in, you know, my 10 and 11-year-old body because that's where my headspace has been living for the last 6.5 years.
Well, given your obvious performance now, the schools you're looking at, they're going to be academically challenging?
I would like to think so.
All right. Well, how do you think you're going to do in those environments with really cutthroat academic pressure and competition?
I think it's going to be really challenging. The first time I was ever alone from my family was at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. And I'm a little bit afraid that when I'm alone again for a prolonged period of time, that I'll just feel the same way I did when I was 10 or 11.
Sure. And then, am I a difficult topic, but do you have any survivor guilt?
Yes. It's something that is also really difficult to talk about, but I was one of the last people to talk with my mom. And after finding out about her death, the next thing I thought of was, well, maybe if I said something different, or...
How did it relate to, like, do you retrace your steps and your conversations those last few days?
All the time.
And what concerns do you have about things you might have said or not said?
Well, there's a lot of, again, topics off limits, so it was kind of hard to have, like, emotional and personal conversations with her.
Sure.
In a way, it felt scripted. So I just feel like maybe she thought I didn't care or such, like, with talking with her, but those moments were so, so special to me.
Do you ever challenge yourself about whether telling her about how you felt and what was happening in there was not the right thing to do for you?
Yes, I feel like if I would have let her think that I was doing okay, that maybe she wouldn't have taken the step to end her life to get me out of there.
Right. And now, looking back on it, does it worry you that you told her those things?
Yes, I feel like it's my fault.
Okay. Now, I want to move on to loss of capacity to enjoy life. And you're doing great. You're doing great. Water. Let's talk about making new friends. We don't have that much more to go.
Yeah.
Let's talk about making new friends. How is that going? I mean, you have met a guy you like, mm-hmm. and that's going well, I hope?
Yes.
Okay, good. How about other new friends?
Well, I recently made a new friend, and thankfully she's very understanding of my situation, but it's hard because I'll make plans with people, mm-hmm. and I'll really want to go.
Sure.
But then, like, last minute, I'll cancel either because I'm in pain or my depression's too bad.
You don't want to see people. And does that happen at the last minute, like you said?
Yeah, and that's why I feel even more guilty, is because they probably just think, oh, she doesn't want to hang out with me, but it's not true. I'm just really struggling.
Sure. And then how about connecting with the older friends, the friends you already had?
Yeah, I don't talk to any of the kids from elementary school as much other than Riley.
Uh-huh. Any particular reason why, like going back even to your middle school days?
I think it's just hard because when you see the faces of people that were present and like during that time, It's already a reminder.
And so did, you know, when was the last time you actually were in a classroom type going to school?
2 years ago.
Why'd you stop? I mean, usually junior and senior year are pretty fun.
Yeah, I stopped for a lot of reasons. So I told you about the clock. Every single classroom has one of those. So when it's quiet, you hear the ticking and then I can't focus. And then the bells. It reminds me of John Hopkins. I was worried that the administrators I was just scared that they knew about what happened. I was scared that I may be taken away because my brother, when this was all going down, he got taken out of class and was examined alone. And I was terrified that would happen, so much so I actually started carrying my lawyer's card in my school backpack.
I'm still there. So the things that you were doing and very active in before, I'm going to go through them. You tell the jury whether you still do them or don't do them, and if so, how much. Piano.
I do not do that at all anymore.
Singing.
No, I do not do that anymore.
Developing the Polish language.
No.
Can you communicate anymore with, like, your aunt here? That
barely, because thank God she knows some English, enough where I could actually understand what she's saying. But with my grandma, for example, my babcia, I cannot have a conversation with her, and it's so hard because on the phone when I call her, she'll just break down and she's just crying.
She's used to you being able to talk to her. Mm-hmm. Skating.
Nope.
I guess not. You never got back into gymnastics.
No, I
didn't. CRPS.
Yeah.
It would be really dumb. Any other activities that you used to take great pleasure in that you no longer care about?
Yes, so in middle school, I was president of a ton of clubs, or I was an active member in a bunch of clubs. And I feel like people are like, that's kind of weird, like your mom just died, why are you doing all this? Uh-huh. But I was genuinely just trying to distract myself, and school for me was my only outlet. But when I got into high school, my depression was just getting worse and worse, so I actually just stopped going to clubs, and I haven't been a member of a club in quite some time.
Mm-hmm. What about, did you do some public speaking then in front of the class before?
I have, yes. I was, for like the middle school graduation, I was one of the spokespeople.
Uh-huh. And how come you're not doing that kind of socializing? I know, another dumb question. Why aren't you doing that socializing and leadership role anymore?
Well, I just feel like I don't really connect with my peers anymore. It's really difficult for me to make friends, let alone keep friendships. And I realize, you know, I am the problem. It's because I suffer from a lot of things, and I hope to get help for those in the future.
Sure. Understanding. Your relationship with your, well, strike that. What about your future insofar as being a wife or a mother?
Yes, so, I mean, obviously I'm afraid for being even in a relationship because I have really bad depression and all I do is cry every day. It's guaranteed at least once I'll cry. Mm-hmm. And when you're hanging around a person that you're dating, you see them a lot. So at first I was able to kind of hold it, but now every day I cry in front of him. And I don't want him to think I'm crazy like other people in the past have thought.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm scared with my CRPS, with the flares, because it's like taking care of a baby, you know? Like you lose a lot of abilities. And I don't want to give that life to somebody where they have
sure.
to take care of me.
Absolutely.
And then with children, I don't have my mom, so mm-hmm. I don't really have a girl to stand by my side and walk me through it. And
right. Wedding you're talking about?
Weddings as well, yes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, pregnancies, weddings, and I'm quite fearful that in the future, if I do have children, that my fear of doctors will prevent them from getting care.
Okay. One more question on that, but I think I'll move on. So let's turn to the final area now. This is about things, what's known as the loss of child consortium with your mom. That's mm-hmm. things that she used to do for you, with you, that now either you have to do yourself or have to get somebody else to do. So I have a bit of a list. In terms of clothes shopping, was that a big thing that she helped you with?
Yeah, Kyle and I both.
And then social advice.
Yes.
And physical comforting, snuggling, things like that.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, advice about growing up, becoming a woman, right?
Yes.
And then if you got sick, or you thought you were getting sick, having a nurse as a mom.
Right.
Is that?
Yes.
Okay. Plus now you don't want to go to a doctor.
Yeah.
All right. Doing your hair.
Right. She always did it for me.
And, of course, if you did decide to go somewhere, I guess she did split the chauffeuring around with your dad.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Cooking?
Yes, she always cooked.
Right. And the house pretty much stays spotless, don't it? Still?
Yes, still.
All right. All right. Do you feel like you need to take care of your dad some now?
In some ways, I try to do the laundry as much as I can.
Uh-huh.
I try to help out with her little dog. And I try to help out with Kyle sometimes in terms of driving him and whatnot. And I don't really buy clothes unless if it's with my money. That's why I kind of got a job.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, he still buys me things and whatnot. But I do feel guilty because, you know, he's the only one bringing money. So I don't want to use it.
All right. Tell us, are there any other practical things they should consider in terms of things that your mom did for you or did with you to the point where it was, you know, you won't do them anymore?
I think the other thing is just travel, you know.
Mm-hmm. But you have been out of the city
yes.
a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Hopefully do more, right?
Yes, hopefully.
Okay. So before this, did I ask you to assist the jury in giving them some ideas, some quantitative data, if you will, on time that this affects you?
Yes, you okay. did.
All right. So physical, emotional pain and suffering. How many hours on a single good day, if you have a good day, how many hours do one or more, does this affect you, the aggravation of your CRPS and the PTSD and depression?
I would say about 12.
Okay. And then on a single bad day, including sleep time?
15.
Okay. And then mental anguish and what we talked about, all those things, on a good day, how many hours does it affect you?
I would say like around 10.
And then on a bad day, how does this, what we discussed, affect you?
18.
So 3/4 of the day?
Yes. I don't really sleep much.
Okay. Loss of capacity to enjoy life. How many hours on a good day?
11, 12.
Okay. And then what about on the bad days?
That would be, again, around like 17, 18.
Okay. Now, if we could kind of combine these together to the good days versus bad days in the week. And I know it's mixed, but Can you give us an idea of how many days out of the week are good days and how many days are bad days?
I would say it really does depend on the season. I mean, right now it's actually a little bit harder than usual because October is the month that I was taken. But I usually do have more bad days than good.
Uh-huh.
I would probably say 5 out of the 7 days are bad.
All right. And that's taking into account the three categories for that.
Correct.
All right. And then about the effects of the loss of your mom. Let's talk about how many hours on a single good day that this substantially affects you. And I'm not talking about just a passing thought. I'm talking about whether, it's substantially affecting your life.
Right. I would say about 7 hours.
Okay. And I had you think about this before.
Correct.
All right. And how about on a single bad day?
That would be like 9, 10.
Okay. All right. So then how many days out of the week are good versus bad on average?
I mean, I think about her a lot, and her death has severely, impacted me. And I would argue that that's probably like 6 out of the 7.
Okay. So 6 bad to 2 good.
1 good.
And finally, Maya, are you worried about the future at all with the challenges that life brings? Relationships, jobs, things like that?
Yes. The first job I had, I held for a week. Mm-hmm. And then the next one just over, a couple of months. So I obviously don't really know how to hold a job without it either triggering my PTSD, depression, or CRPS. And then I am worried with my relationships, as I said, with friends and even my boyfriend.
Okay. All right. Nick, anything else? Thank you, Maya.
Mr. Shakira.
Yeah, briefly, Your Honor. Thank you. Good morning, Maya.
Good morning.
Just a couple really quick topics. So I know before you had your ordeal at All Children's, you did have some therapy before, I think, with Rebecca Johnson?
Correct, to cope with the diagnosis of CRPS.
And did you find it helpful?
I did.
Do you plan on getting therapy again once this trial's done?
Yes.
Okay. Just a couple things. You said you have been able to maintain a relationship with your boyfriend?
I have, yes.
Awkward question, but how long have you all been dating?
Over a year.
Okay. You have your driver's license?
I do.
And do you have your own car?
I do, yes. Sold my mom's car.
Gotcha. Anything fun that you're driving, or what'd you get?
I have this, I forget what model it is, but it's a Tesla. So we have the solar panels, which heat our pool, and then I charge it.
Oh, that's fun. You talked about, therapy going forward, I guess in terms of what you hope for your future, with some help in therapy, you could, pursue some of your dreams for college after that. Is that still the plan?
Yes.
Okay. And just to be clear, you have, I would hope, big dreams for yourself. You're very bright. Go to college one day.
I would like to do that. Yes.
Okay. Just because you've been sitting here in the courtroom with us, out of curiosity, any thought about becoming a lawyer?
Probably not. That's
a good choice. Good choice. That's one thing we probably agree on, Maya. Anyway, that's all I have. I appreciate it. And again, I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Anything further? May the witness be excused, Your
Honor. Well, members of the jury, do any of you have any questions?
Oh, that's right.
I think you probably all need to go. Do not discuss this case amongst yourselves. Do not do any investigation and receive no information.
All rise for the next thing.
Juries out of our presence. Ms. Kowalski, if I could have you sit outside for a few moments. Okay, the witnesses out of our witnesses out of the courtroom. Red number one, top left. Now there's, I think, at least seven questions on this first sheet. Actually, there's more than that. On your good days, do you feel happiness? In J Hatch, was it long periods of time between phone calls or visits? Were you where you were by yourself? And was that super difficult and lonely? Next question. Tell us more about the lack of, quote, creature comforts, end quote, or care that you did not receive. For example, when Sally Smith came in the room and your dad was cleaning you up. Next question. Other than Jessica, guardian ad litem, did you have any other people to help you on phone calls, or did it end up only being Kathy Beattie? Next question. How often did you see Kathy Beattie? Next question. What made you hate her the most? Have you found a good psychotherapist? Next question. Do you think you can get a new job? Here is this juror's questions handed to the lawyers.
So I think that's basically the same as what you testified to, but I don't have any problem with it.
The one that I do worry about, and I hope it was inadvertent, but again, that the concern I have about the question.
Thanks for the first one.
You can't go by the numbers because there is more questions at the top.
I thought I saw something about, have you found a good psychotherapist? I have concern about that question only because, and I'm not saying it was intentional, but the blurting out of, I would, but my records are under subpoena, I think can be very damaging to the parties here. And I just think that opens up a very dangerous story. I mean, she's testified to this. So I think the harm of that potential question outweighs the benefit of...
I don't want to open any doors.
So. I tend to agree. So all but that one, which was the psychotherapist.
We tend to forget, you know, she's still a kid in the life.
Okay, so moving on to the next one. Red number two. Maya said pain was 5 to 7. Is this on a scale of 1 to 10 or 1 to 50? Here's the sheet of paper.
No objection.
Red number three, Maya, your testimony has now triggered me to ask this next question. Possibly at this point you may know, and if we hear from another doctor, I'll ask them. Understanding CRPS can come and go, get worse, or it says reside or disappear. Can CRPS result in the destruction or degradation of things like nerves, their synapses, brain cells, neurons, etc., to the point that CRPS can causes in quotes, addition or new debilitating ailments.
Object on the foundation.
I think she can testify to what she knows about that.
Yeah, I think it gets way deep into medical opinions. That
you know, like the law is the plaintiffs can testify about those things from their own perspective. Yeah. In any car accident, they talk about that, how you're doing.
Also, it's going to bring in potential hearsay about what she's heard.
It goes to her understanding. and what she's thinking and the how it impacts her life. See, the next one actually is on front and back. This is red number 4. Maya, when you were in need of changing your undergarments during the time at J-Hatch 1, were you always first afforded the opportunity of privacy in accomplishing the task on your own? 2, were there occasions that you specifically asked for assistance in changing your undergarments? 3, when staff would change your undergarments, did staff use or offer the use of covering your upper or most definitely lower parts with the bed sheets for a bit of privacy? Here's the sheet of paper.
No objection.
No objection.
Red number 5, Maya. While at the hospital in October, November, December, and January, it says 216 and 217. But I suspect they meant 215 to 216. Was there ever a time staff clearly made available to you or asked if you wanted to use or would like assistance in getting to the usual room's built-in restroom? Was an open view potty chair placed all those months, and that was understood that to you as being your only option? Lastly, whether it's on 2 pages. Lastly, whether assisted or under your own strength, was some kind of rolling, movable screen or curtain made freely available to you? Once seated, you could afford yourself a level of privacy. Here's the sheet. Again, it's on 2 sides.
Pretty factual.
No objection.
No objection.
Okay. Since everyone has taken a break, do you all want to take a break so that when Ms. Kowalski finishes her testimony, we can just go on to the next witness?
That'd be great, because remember, Judge, I've got that timing problem with my economist. She has got to go on at 11. So I'm going to have to go out of order and save my rehab person and my...
So for everybody, let's take no more than a 10-minute break. And then, Deputy Coley, if you could let them know, it's going to be about 10 minutes before we start again.
All right, go on recess.
More live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory. The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory. The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory. The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory. The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory. The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory. The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.